Coming to you live from the city that spawned the band Tesla, it's the Nate Darling Show with Becca Costello, Ted Sampson, and Christiana D. Now, with a headbanging song in his heart, here's Nate.
And some tight leather pants on my torso.
Ooh, Merry post-Christmas.
I feel like we should say right up front that today's show is brought to you by mimosas.
That's true.
Here, let's do a little right in the, so they can hear
the... Oh, the clink?
Oh.
Clink. Clink.
That's the sound of festiveness.
Right.
Happy New Year.
It is.
Still.
Coming up on the show today, we'll explain why drugs are bad.
Okay.
Got two different things that made me say, damn hipsters. And
Did you see someone in a knit cap and fly into a rage again?
not at all. These are things from other places. We'll explore why California's Attorney General was wrong. Ha ha. And more fun.
Yay for fun.
Fun's
the most fun.
Fun's my favorite.
It is. It's a good band, too.
Oh, no, don't get Ted starting to sing Some Nights Again.
Anyway, that's
all I'm going to hear for the next month.
Some nights I make up words and I'm singing songs.
Yeah, it's craziness. I trust everybody had a good New Year, even though we're recording this before Christmas.
Let's believe we had a good New Year.
Yeah, I think
we
it was fantastic.
I was really surprised about that one shocking world event that happened. That
totally.
Was amazing.
Oh my God, that thing that people said.
And also that viral video was really funny.
With the cat?
But the other one was offensive. And can you believe?
Cat. And do you guys remember when the whole city of Sacramento threw me a birthday party for my 39th birthday on New Year's
Eve?
Amazing. It was such a surprise. Thanks, everyone. That was amazing.
I had a hand.
There were
that,
fireworks.
Not to brag. Yeah.
Oh, hopefully this year they won't have to set them off at like 8 in the morning. Was that last year, right? Because of the murder and the candle.
Oh,
things.
Sorry. That's right.
That's not
funny. Okay, speaking of fireworks and stuff, has anybody seen the old Sacramento Theater of Lights?
No.
We went to see it a long time ago.
And how was that?
It was very quaint and sweet. And there was like a battle between Santa and Jack Frost. And like James McClatchy was there talking about the Sacramento Bee back in the 1800s. And, you know, they had sort of synchronized lights that went with Christmas carols and all that. I don't know. I was actually impressed for Sacramento. I thought it was really fun.
Yeah.
That sounds awful.
It was fantastic.
You would hate it, Nate.
Free.
You know what? Actually, I take that. It sounds like something that would be good to do if you had kids. You wanted to bring kids out to do something.
Or if
like
you're
that.
Dating Becca.
Or if you're a child at heart.
Mm-hmm.
I would go.
You could take
someday
tea someday. Yeah, because it's free and it happens enough times that you could pick a time that wasn't like insanely crowded, you know?
Yeah, that's the thing that gets me down there is just so like,
Yeah, it wasn't that bad. And we were even, you know, we're on like, you know, it's close to Christmas, although no, it's not. It's after New Year's.
So hard.
You can do it.
Time travel.
We've pulled back the curtain on this. So.
Do you think they're on to us?
I thought the really weird thing was how the ghost of Dick Clark really ruined New Year's Rockin' Eve.
I did not expect that.
I know.
No.
Hologram, maybe.
Terrifying.
The actual ghost of Dick Clark.
I mean, the poltergeist, judging by the way he was ripping apart people and...
I would have thought in the afterlife you would have fixed that speech impediment too, but no, he was like,
"That was a stroke. You can't do that.
Different
That's
strokes
a speech impediment.
Or different folks.
It was a speech impediment caused by it. It's true.
Now I know who he's coming for next.
That's
year,
why he's so mad.
Bring it on, Dick Clark.
Good
bring
grief.
It on.
You want to mess with the poltergeist of Dick Clark?
I will.
Okay.
I wouldn't.
You are braver than I am.
I wouldn't either. His poltergeist will live a long time.
So. Speaking of things that are dead, that you can no longer get anymore, light bulbs. The traditional 40 and 60 watt light bulbs, which are the most popular in the country, are no longer being made as of the start of 2014.
Because of liberals?
Mm-hmm. This comes after the controversial phasing out of the 75 and 100 watt light bulbs that came at the beginning of last year.
Was that controversial? Because I didn't even know that happened until you told me just now.
In their place will be halogen bulbs, compact fluorescent bulbs, LED bulbs, and high efficiency incandescents, which are just regular incandescents that have the filament wrapped in glass. All are significantly more expensive than traditional light bulbs, but offer significant energy and cost savings over the long run. Some specialty incandescents, such as three-way bulbs, will still be available, though. The end of old light bulbs will likely anger some consumers who are already faced with higher prices for a variety of goods, but it will also tick off the Tea Party activists, since the ban is the result of the final phase of the government-mandated efficiency standards.
Dun, dun.
Oh, all that anti-light bulb chatter in Washington.
Here's the rub, though. The rules were signed into law by President George W. Bush.
But Obama.
Yeah, Obama.
I blame Obama.
Also Obama.
They're designed to address gross inefficiencies in old light bulbs. Only 10% of the energy they use is converted into light. That's according to the EPA. There's a handy fact sheet, which I'm not going to read to you because they're all boring. The rest is wasted as heat, so you're going to have to pay more for your heat, too.
Oh, man.
Damn it. The rules have drawn fire from a number of circles, mainly conservatives and libertarians, who are unhappy about the government telling people what light bulbs they can use.
If I want to use inefficient light bulbs, damn it, that is my right as an American to waste energy. Yeah.
If I want to do asbestos lines, I should be able to do asbestos lines.
Right.
Speaking of the government babysitting me. I don't
yeah,
know.
I mean, I still have my asbestos oven mitts. They work great.
Yeah. If I want to drive drunk, I should be able to drive drunk. Government.
Yeah. Okay.
And
damn you.
Stupid things.
Speaking of which, I have somewhere to go immediately after this podcast with my mimosa.
Should we get you a little thermos for a second one to go, honey? For the road, as it were?
No, I feel like I should chug this fast so I have a chance of sobering.
Well,
mimosas
yeah,
to go. In only New Orleans.
It's okay. Delicious, though.
We don't endorse drunk driving.
No.
At all.
No.
Because we hate freedom. That's why, I think.
Yeah.
And do we both hate freedom and Obama?
Because
Obama hates freedom, so you think we'd be like common.
It's like the commutative property of hate.
Being ignorant and confused is hard work because you think about it too hard. Anyway.
That's why you don't think. You just go on raw emotion.
It's a scream how Levine does the rumba. Wow. That's it. I'm sorry.
Mimosas are cray cray.
You know who else goes on raw emotion? David Beckham.
I've been meaning to bend it like him.
He's a retired footballer now. He has plenty of time to explore his sensitive side. And he admitted that he cries. I'm going to wait till Ted finishes drinking that. Mm-mm. At episodes of Friends.
Aw. Is that why you wanted me to finish my mimosa?
Yeah. I cried at a couple episodes of Friends.
He said, quote, I'm kind of an emotional wreck with movies. I can't get through some movies without shedding a tear. I can't lie. The radio host that interviewed him said he...
Santa Claus versus the Martians did move me to tears, I got to say.
Said he saw the film Saving Mr. Banks with Tom Hanks and Emma Thompson and, quote, cried for an hour afterwards.
Oh, my God. That's the movie that I was thinking of going to see for my birthday.
Oh, don't now.
I don't know if I want to cry for an hour.
Saving Private Ryan? Wait, what?
No, Saving Mr. Banks, the new Mary Poppins movie.
Oh, okay.
I want to see that, but then I also read this thing online about how one of the guys
spoilers.
Who's in it
no
is... No, no, it's not.
Okay.
I don't
guy
think
in
it spoils
it?
The movie. Okay. I mean, the movie's a fictionalization, okay, so we can... But how it,
of,
it just
of the real life story of Mary Poppins?
No, the woman who wrote Mary
okay.
Poppins.
It's about Walt Disney trying to turn Mary Poppins into a movie.
But it's possible there weren't as many changes. Like maybe she wasn't as good a person as she became in that movie, or maybe Walt Disney wasn't as good a person.
I've heard that they were famous. Like the whole process was famously fraught with tension. Like
yeah.
She really was very resistant to some of the things that he wanted
yeah.
to do,
and
she didn't want a musical at all.
And apparently she still died despising everything about the movie.
And it's sad because actually it's really sad, but this is one of the rare examples where I've read the book and I'm in love with the movie, and I read the book and I was like, the book is all right, but the movie is amazing. It's perfection.
So back to David Beckham, he said, I'm the same when watching The Office or watching Friends. I just can't get through it.
What? The comedies are what
somehow
moves
I'm not surprised.
I completely have cried at The Office.
What?
Well, not recently, but like in the first couple of seasons.
Back when it had some heart?
Yeah, the first couple of seasons, and especially there was like a period where I was depressed and I watched The Office a lot on Netflix because it was my favorite show and I cried a lot, but that could have been the depression and not The Office. But it was during the like Jim and Pam will they get together or won't they kind of vibe, you know. You remember those days.
Yeah.
Seasons like 1, 2, and 3.
Those were good seasons.
Excellent.
This look into Becca's psyche brought to you by the Amazon link at natedarlingshow.com.
And mimosas.
And mimosas.
Can I peel back the curtain for something not
sure.
at all related to the show?
Why
so
not?
We're taping, as we have mentioned with the mimosas, which indicates day drinking. This is a morning recording session for us, which is unusual.
That's true. We started
time.
At 9 a.m.
Yeah, but that's cool. But I crept out of the house. Like, I set an alarm because I was afraid I'd miss it. And I crept out of the house. My kid was still sleeping. And I've just had a report from home that my kid is still sleeping.
Oh,
and it
wow.
is almost 11 a.m.
Like, does wow. that mean your child is going Which to be up till like 3 in the morning?
Quite possibly. She may be at the Lady Business show that we're doing tonight.
You know what? I think she's training for staying up all night on Christmas Eve. Because I remember that's my first experience with insomnia was like just not being able to sleep at that time.
Yeah, there she is. She's yeah, sleeping.
You know, you know.
Apparently she's breathing, so it's okay.
You know what else will put her out? Midnight Mass. That will definitely knock her out.
Did you have to go to that when you were a kid every year?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Even when you're real little, they make you go?
Well, no. There's other times when you can go to Mass. You don't have to go at midnight on Christmas Eve, but that was normally. Normally, when I was younger, I think we would go to like the 5 p.m. Mass on Christmas Eve.
But the midnight is beautiful, yeah?
It is. It's hard. I can't do it now. I get too tired.
The midnight mass is it's more of a spectacular, and it's more like it has that festive atmosphere that you would have with like a ball drop or something like that. They make it an event.
Ah, puberty.
It's a different baby ball drop. It's a baby drop though.
The only time that I ever went to midnight mass in my life was when I was in India. And I was invited by some Indian Catholic friends to come to Midnight Mass on Christmas Eve. And it was one of the best Christmas experiences of my entire life. And I didn't understand a word of the service because it was all in Konkani. So that's how great Midnight Mass is.
Okay.
Konkani, son.
Yep. Konkani, son.
That's the regional dialect of Goa. Sure.
So, David Beckham, a little bit of oversharing. Oh. I don't know what to make of that whole thing. I really don't.
He's a sensitive man.
Well, and this comes on the heels of him admitting that he had, in part of hazing when he first came into professional soccer, that he had to masturbate to pictures of his teammates.
That's weird.
What? Yeah, I don't understand. While people watch?
Yes.
It's a bonding experience.
Yes.
Like, literally, your pictures bond together because there's sperm all over them. That's gross. Yeah. I'm sorry, but that's what they're doing. It was sports.
But wait, are you?
Did you miss this?
You implying that David Beckham, his sexuality might be in question because he cries at movies?
Well, I think there's a lot of trauma going on with David Beckham. Because what was it? For anybody who missed it, because we did not talk about this on the show before, says he was forced to perform a humiliating sex act while looking at a photo of soccer legend Clayton Blackmore during a bizarre homoerotic hazing ritual. This came out in a new documentary. As a teenager, he suffered through the creepy initiation ritual while other players watched and cheered before joining Manchester United youth team. So, hey, Man U fans, that's what they do. Quote, everyone had an initiation that you had to go through to be on the youth team. That was one of the most...
The youth team. I'm pretty sure it's actionable, you guys.
So what do you guys do in youth and government to get everybody on?
Jesus, not that. Not that. We all share a fun fact about ourselves.
Everybody's got to rub one out to a picture of FDR.
Nope.
in a bicameral way.
No. Well, if it's on your own, I think it's unicameral.
Well, but it's not, but because people are cheering.
Nope.
Harumph. And someone has to second it. That's what makes it most uncomfortable. He says, I was embarrassed when I was saying it on camera, let alone talking about it more. But it's all something we had to go through. It was definitely something I wouldn't like to go through again. Really? He also, the fact that I had to look at Clayton Blackmore's calendar and do certain things while looking at Clayton Blackmore, I mean, it was embarrassing to talk about.
I don't like any of this.
I don't know what Clayton Blackmore looks like. I have to look up Clayton Blackmore.
Why does he even... He's like, it was so embarrassing to talk about. Well, you could have not talked about it.
You could have, but it was a documentary.
Clayton Blackmore, you said?
Clayton Blackmore.
Ted's binging. Clayton Blackmore.
Oh, there's a picture of him with a mustache and a perm. How could you not rub one out to Clayton Blackmore? I mean, seriously. He's a sexy, sexy man.
Yeah.
Wow. He kind of looks like someone who is in Loverboy.
Yeah. Well,
here's the newer one.
Don't disparage Loverboy.
Oh, no, I'm not at all. I'm just saying he has that look, you know?
So easy to rub one out to.
Wink.
Yeah.
Wait, that subtle. Wasn't even wink. So.
What are you getting at?
Right. If you know what I mean.
Beating around the bush and just... get to. Did we have a whole thing about being? Never mind. I had a flashback about a previous masturbation discussion we had on the Nate Darling show.
Yeah, we've had those.
Yeah.
Speaking of things that will make you not want to rub one out, Lamar Odom is convinced, apparently, that Khloe Kardashian has been dating baseball player Matt Kemp for months behind his back. And the troubled NBA star even thinks the reality television personality was having a secret rendezvous with the Dodgers slugger while they were trying to patch up their marriage. Yeah.
Ooh.
An insider revealed to Radar the athlete is fuming, saying Lamar feels betrayed because Khloe was telling him she wanted to save the marriage and he was really trying to do so. He was far from the perfect husband, but Lamar genuinely thought there was a chance to save the relationship. Khloe always told Lamar she was only friends with Matt, but friends have been telling him that she had been hooking up with Kemp for months.
You know what's amazing?
It's benefits.
Last night we were at Pizza Rock, and there was an interview with Matt Kemp on the TV behind our table, because there always has to be a TV in every restaurant.
Right. So I can be
and
distracted.
Until this is so topical, because I know what Matt Kemp looks like, and he's mm-hmm. very attractive. And I wouldn't have even known who he was or anything about him if I hadn't been forced to stare at that TV last night while I ate pizza.
Well, and here's the thing about Matt Kemp, because we all know what Khloe Kardashian looks like. Matt Kemp dated Rihanna.
Mm.
That's range. Mm-hmm. You want to talk about not having a type. If you're mm-hmm. dating both Rihanna and Khloe Kardashian, you do not have a type.
I think his type is super famous.
And you think they're hot? I don't know.
I think Khloe Kardashian is attractive. I mean, I get that everyone's like, oh, she's the less attractive of the Kardashian sisters, but she's still beautiful and put together.
She's not even remotely in Rihanna's league in terms of that.
Oh, well, Rihanna is like superhumanly beautiful, but I don't know.
I think, you know, if we go ahead and assume that there actually was something going on, I think it's probably his type is more someone who is a famous, more famous than him, so that he doesn't have to be, you know, if you go out in public, he's not the focus of attention.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I just found that interesting if that's in fact true. But I'm going to go with probably just friends.
But you think Khloe Kardashian is pretty, right? Don't you?
I mean,
if she was like a person that you knew in your world and went out on a date with, wouldn't you think she was pretty?
Yeah. And I think that she is, on the inside, probably the prettiest of the Kardashians, because the others are all black on the inside. And that's not a Kanye West joke.
Okay. It wasn't until you said it wasn't one, and then it was one.
It is.
For me.
No, I'm confused. By the way, there is a Kanye West cameo in Anchorman 2 that makes no fucking sense at all.
You have a lot of Anchorman 2
issues?
Anger.
I want to punch Will Ferrell.
Anger Man too.
I want to punch Will Ferrell in the throat. I really do.
Wow.
Because the movie is, I mean, first of all, we saw there was just such a ton of promotion everywhere leading up to it.
Insane amounts of promotion.
For like a year.
I'm a person that doesn't even watch TV, and I can't tell you how many commercials and product placements I caught for that.
And it's gotten so bad. Here's how bad it's gotten for Will Ferrell for me after last night. He has now entered Adam Sandler territory for me.
Uh-oh.
But Adam Sandler before he started doing like serious films, Adam Sandler. Well, he's done some serious
films. Oh, you mean
too.
Serious films like Jack and Jill?
No.
Where he plays his own twin sister?
No.
So like Punch Drunk Love.
Punch Drunk Love. Yeah, that was
it. Funny People? Was that the one where he was kind of like a bitter stand-up comedian?
Yeah, they're all pretty bad. But Will Ferrell has now entered that whole thing for me, as has Judd Apatow, because this is...
I think he's the most overrated person.
Judd Apatow, absolutely overrated.
Most overrated person.
And you know what? It's now dragged Paul Rudd into it.
Because
Paul Rudd is now making terrible movies.
You could tell it was going to... Frankly, you could tell... So Saturday Night Live a few weeks ago at this point... Mm-hmm. The Paul Rudd one, and he had Will Ferrell and the anchor people on there.
Right.
And they were all dicks.
Yeah.
They were out. Most of the stuff was dickish.
It was just
when they were together.
And here's my review of Anchorman 2, and I'm going to be eminently fair about this. The first, I would say, third to a half of it is mildly amusing. Mm-hmm. Mildly amusing. And then it starts to just be batshit crazy for no apparent reason.
That's a comedy pet peeve of
lazy
mine.
Lazy script writer.
It's like crazy, crazy.
Anybody,
how wacky.
Anybody who, this is going to be a little bit inside comedy, and it goes back to improv. There's something called Crazy Town when you're doing improv, where you just go out completely on a limb to shit that doesn't make any sense and has no basis in reality. Because comedy normally has some sort of grounding in reality, and that's why people identify with it and find it funny. But you get to Crazy Town by sort of, you take little baby steps away from reality to get to Crazy Town. And you sort of earn that by going, this becomes this, then this becomes this. This movie just completely just goes to crazy. It just lives in fucking Crazy Town for no reason at all. Nothing is tied together. It's 2 hours long. So I don't know why it needs to be 2 full hours long, because it doesn't. They took bits from the first movie, like the anchor team battles.
Yeah.
They did a super deluxe anchor team battle scene.
See, you shouldn't try to recreate that.
And
cause...
but they went bigger and crazier.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was just
I think sometimes when comedians reach a certain point in their career, there's sort of this idea that we just want to see them frolic and it doesn't really matter.
Oh, but
because
it does.
They're just so hilarious. And I feel like that's been well, for me, I mean, I don't know. All these comedians are successful, but we've seen that. I mean, Adam Sandler might be an example. Vince Vaughn, different characters who are just, or different actors that are just sort of allowed to, like, you're in a vehicle for you and just act insane and we'll edit it together because everybody just loves to watch you.
And I will say this about, since you mentioned Vince Vaughn, Delivery Man, which I saw a few weeks ago, not the funniest movie in the world, and it's not really designed to be. It's got a few funny bits, but it's a sweet movie, and it makes sense. It's kind of a far-fetched plot, but they make it make sense so that, oh, I could see how this could actually happen and be a thing.
Right.
And this movie, and the other thing that, you know, when you finish watching a really good movie and you get up, you can feel the energy of the theater,
mm-hmm.
and everybody's like, oh, that's great. Or like when we went to see Riff Tracks and you get up and everybody was in a good mood and you could feel the vibe.
Yeah. Mm.
It was like walking out of Awake.
Oh.
So it wasn't just me. It's like, oh, will you hit? No, it was the whole theater was like,
aww. People must have such high expectations because yeah. people love the first movie so much and they've seen it a million times. And there's nothing like, I mean, you really, if there's a movie that you watch over and over and over and over, there's no way that your first viewing of the sequel is going to match,
right.
you know, your feelings about it. I haven't even seen Anchorman 2, but I can see how, because of all the hype, how it could be disappointing, even if it's an okay movie.
It's not an okay movie. It really isn't. It's a bad movie. And the trailers before it just looked terrible. The new Adam Sandler movie with Drew Barrymore had a trailer in it.
Oh, I see everything with Drew Barrymore in it. I don't know
so
why,
bad.
But I have to. I also buy every magazine where she's on the cover, even though the articles are basically the same.
Let me break down the plot of this new Drew Barrymore movie with Adam Sandler.
I still love The Wedding Singer and 50 First Dates.
I like The Wedding Singer a lot. I liked Adam Sandler to a certain point, and then he was basically just allowed to... The studios just went, Adam Sandler makes us lots of money. Let him do whatever he wants.
Whatever.
Yeah. And that's when he sort of lost it. But the new movie is he goes out on a date with Drew Barrymore. It goes really badly. And he's got three daughters. She's got three sons. And
Brady Bunch.
It is the Brady Bunch. And they end up because her friend something something with his boss something something. And they end up all going on a trip to Africa.
Oh.
Together.
That sounds like a zany turn of events.
It's the Brady Bunch in Africa if Mr. and Mrs. Brady didn't get along on their first date.
Okay, so here's some true things about me. I see everything that Drew Barrymore's in because I love her inexplicably, even though I don't think she's a great actress. I love the Brady Bunch, and I've seen every single episode. And Africa also sounds like that means there'll be a lot of animals in the film. So
oh,
I think
yes.
I would actually see this movie.
Funny things.
I'm pretty sure I'm going to go see this movie. And I'm embarrassed, but it's going to happen.
You should be embarrassed, but that's fine.
The Brady Bunch is awesome. I grew up with it.
Me too.
Yeah, it's something. But anyway, that thus ends my jag about Anchorman 2. Don't bother. If you haven't seen it yet, don't bother.
I'll save my money for the Drew Barrymore Africa movie.
I'm curious right now because I know what it was getting before it opened. I looked up on Rotten Tomatoes. It was like 74% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's at 75%. Who are these assholes? I need to know this. Hold on.
Well, some people feel really probably invested in loving it.
There, let me give it a hat.
To just justify their love for the first one?
Exactly.
Steamy. Hold on. Let me take off caps lock. Horrible.
Are you writing a review?
In a first in podcasting, Nate will now live type
funny.
A Rotten Tomatoes review. Let's all listen
awful. As he types.
I gave it half a star. Oh. I didn't know that was possible, but there you go.
Can you give it zero stars?
I don't think you can do that and rate it. Yeah, my review, horrible disappointment, not funny, god awful. Half a star. That did not bring it down. The audience
listen to the NateDarlingShow.com.
Yeah. Yeah, it's boggles my mind is that these reviews, I mean, Richard Corliss from Time Magazine, the blurb, wine connoisseurs would call this a new Burgundy with an old bouquet.
Burgundy.
Fuck you. Fuck you and your terrible pun, Richard Corliss.
I like it.
Ron Burgundy.
What else is on the show list for today?
There's some more beyond the Anchorman 2.
No, sorry. I think this is the Anchorman 2 episode.
Time to move on. Headline, snowmobile nudist confuses Swedish town.
Confuses?
I don't know.
Despite a tempest battering parts of Sweden, a sprite-like creature appeared in the dead of Thursday night in the guise of a naked man driving a snowmobile. It was the second performance by the unidentified nudist in a week. I was down at the boathouse on Siljan Lake taking a walk, a witness told the local Dalarnia Tidling.
But really, when he said it, it went, Hurgen,
All of a sudden, a young man darted past on a snowmobile with nothing but a white sheet to cover his shoulders.
Ingolf meatball IKEA.
I could see his arse. That was bad enough, the witness lamented, noting
Norden Flurgen.
How does a snowmobile work? I'd assume you'd be sitting on it. Like, how is his ass showing?
Well, you can stand up while you're riding.
Thus
to lift your butt off the seat.
Is a snowmobile, that's like a recreational vehicle, not like something you clear snow out of your driveway with?
Correct.
Okay.
It's a mode of transportation.
I'm from California. I need to learn these things.
Apparently, there were several people down by the lake taking a walk who were thus forced to witness the spectacle. It was the second outing by the naked young man in less than a week. He also braved the December chill completely naked, presumably leaving the bedsheet at home the other time. The risque behavior has locals in Farsnas, located near the town of Mora, wondering who the nudist among them could possibly be. People have been talking up a storm these last few days, but at least don't know who he is. A mobile phone picture taken showed the snowmobile driver's bare buttocks light up.
This is what socialism does to you. No. It makes you drive a snowmobile naked.
Light up the otherwise darkened landscape behind him. They were whiter than the snow on the ground, thanks to the flash.
So I read an article recently, I believe was in Sports Illustrated, and it was a panel interview of people who have run around naked at sporting events.
There's a picture.
We found the picture.
Oh.
It was pale white bottom?
Yes.
It's pretty shapely.
So it was an interview
He's
of
clenching, obviously.
People who have streaked at sporting events. And one thing I learned from that is if you decide you want to streak at a sporting event, it's very important to cover your naughty bits with some tiny bit of something, because if you go completely naked, you end up on the sex offender registry. And if you wear a thong, you don't. You're a prankster.
Fact. Even in San Francisco, where it's legal to be naked.
I'm not sure.
Because they just arrested that woman for getting married naked the other day.
It's legal to be naked in public in San Francisco as long as you're not aroused. Because it's
a
weird thing.
If you're
a
man or if you're a woman, too.
Either one.
Like if your nipples are a little bit pointing out.
Although that's not fair. It's so cold in there. Yeah. It's cold. I'm not aroused. I'm cold.
That is arguable. But yes, there is a picture of the snowmobiler's butt. Someone got a nice shot. Yeah, thanks, Nokia. Must be one of those new Lumia phones.
I have one of those.
I know.
Luminescent. But jokes.
Yeah. So, I'm not going to Sweden. I'm going where it's cold, but I'm not going to be riding a snowmobile.
I go to Sweden because I love IKEA and socialism.
Nate,
you could just go to West Sacramento for that.
Nate, I dare you to snowmobile streak in Vermont.
Well, we don't have an operating snowmobile, and no. What are you, high? Oh,
Ted just showed me the butt picture also so that I could be part of...
The Nate Darling Show.
The Nate Darling Show.
Cool. Or Tool.
Whoa.
All right, first up in Cooler Tool, crying while watching sitcoms. Ted?
Oh, no. Well...
Take Becca out of this for a moment. Do not be pressured.
Well, if you have feelings, express your feelings. Cool. Uh-oh, I'm in trouble now. Nate
Becca
will judge me harshly.
What say you?
I mean, I can't really say that it's a cool thing to do, but I do it all the time. So I'll just compliment myself and say cool.
Christiana?
I think it's fine.
You get to do it if it's a very special episode. Otherwise, no, it's a sitcom. Laugh, smile, and be a man, David Beckham. I think you enjoyed looking at him. That's what I'm saying. Anyway, up next in Cooler Tool, Matt Kemp, Becca.
I know nothing about him, but he looked nice behind me while I was eating pizza, so cool.
Yeah, he did.
On our date night, I'm glad to know that Matt Kemp. Oh, no, I think he's great. I'm glad that he's distracting my girlfriend on our special date night. I love you, Matt Kemp. Super cool.
Christiana?
He's a Dodger. He's cool.
Matt Kemp...
What?
Yeah, Matt Kemp's cool.
No, you don't have to make it up to me, honey. I didn't realize that we're watching Matt Kemp on TV when we were on our date last night.
No, that's because Ted was distracted by some other TV.
You just need to be more interesting.
It's not like I was like,
or hotter.
Oh, yeah, Matt Kemp, you're so hot. But I just noticed, like, oh, he's like a clean-cut, like, attractive person that I never would have.
I should probably shave, I guess. I get it.
No.
Oh, no, he has.
Well, we're cool. We got our mimosas. You guys go.
Like, can you say attractive in just sort of like a generic term? Like, that person is like, you know, the good-looking young man.
Not
like,
legally, no.
Okay, well, I think never mind. I'm sorry.
I think now
I
we know why
night.
There's no TV at their house.
Every person on TV, they're attractive. Oh, it's just about
I
us.
I see.
I see how it is. No, it's a joke. We're kidding, honey. It's all good.
Okay.
Oh, no, now I'm the tool.
Oh, no. Oh. Speaking of tools, what's the last one?
Nudists.
There you go.
Nudists. Christiana.
Literal tools.
Becca?
Cool if you're like running around streaking like, woohoo, I got a YOLO. But
streaking.
Not cool if you're like, hey, look at my schlong on the subway. Like, not cool.
Well, that's not a nudist. That's a flasher.
Oh,
okay.
There's
good
a difference.
Point.
Then cool.
Ted?
Yeah, I think if you're not waving your schlong in someone's face or your erect nipples in someone's face just to get a rise out of them, then it's cool. Express your emotions and your nudity watching a sitcom or snowboarding.
Stay in your camps, you damn nudists.
Oh, you're so conservative.
That's what I say. Send them away.
Well,
I'm not conservative. It's just
you're the Fox News of the Nate Darling Show.
Nudists are, here's the problem with nudists. They're never the people you really want to see naked.
That's usually true.
And having
done beta breakers, they're also not people you want to see running.
But naked. I'm also a person. I'm one of those people that nobody wants to see naked. So
that's
I shouldn't
true.
Judge those people.
Matt Kemp might want to see you naked.
Oh,
your celebrity
Ted.
Boyfriend. Oh, yeah, me too.
I thought we dug our way out of that.
We did, but I had to. It was a callback. It was funny. It's okay. Comedy.
If it makes you feel better, if it makes you feel any better, Becca, I would love to see you naked.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I don't think that's helping with the Matt Kemp thing and the date. This is terrible. Why do we drink a podcast, you guys?
So that you can build up a little tolerance.
Oh, man. No, one drink and that's plenty. Last night I drank something called a red snapper and it was delicious. It
sounds dirty.
Just FYI.
Or fishy.
Ooh. Both. All right, now's the time in the podcast when we take one of Christiana's heroes and explain why they're wrong. Dateline Roseville, California.
Tiana has a great look on her face. Like, well, what do I say about
in
this?
In a rejection of California Attorney General Kamala Harris's stance on
comma.
The right, whatever, the rights of law-abiding gun owners, senior federal district court judge Anthony W. Ishii denied Harris's motion for a summary judgment in a federal civil rights lawsuit filed by the Cal Guns Foundation. Cal Guns, take me away! Indicating that California's 10-day waiting period gun laws were likely unconstitutional. Quote, the fact that federal judges saw these laws for what they are, baseless restraints on the exercise of fundamental civil rights, is monumental. That's according to Gene Hoffman, chairman of the Cal Guns Foundation. California's waiting period for laws for those who own guns is not constitutional, and this order really underlies that point. In his order, Judge Ishii said that Harris had, quote, not presented sufficient evidence to show that the 10-day waiting period laws passes either immediate or strict scrutiny. About the laws being challenged in the case, the plaintiff's name, James Sylvester of Hanford, California, said, I have a license to carry a loaded firearm across the state. It's ridiculous that I have to wait another 10 days to pick up a new firearm when I'm standing there in the gun store lawfully carrying one the whole time. So, wrong.
This is one of those things where I can't help but think... You could put all this, you could put all that same energy into making sure the poor were clothed and fed and housed, or, I mean, literally anything, but guns.
But
anyway,
but putting an unnecessary waiting period on people who've already been cleared to own guns and have permits.
I
can go both ways with this. I have no skin in this fight.
Most of the country, there's no need to own a firearm.
Well, it's not a need; it's a right. It's in the Constitution. That's the whole debate. It's not a need, it's a right.
If you take away certain clauses, then yes. If you render certain parts of the amendment unnecessary and superfluous, which is, of course, against the basic tenets of statutory interpretation, then yes.
You're just making up words now.
Yeah.
Smarty. Yes. I'm kidding. I'm sorry.
True.
Trying to put your own spin on it. But the whole point of this is, and I would tend to agree with Judge Ishii.
Please stop doing that.
I like saying his name.
It's like nails on a chalkboard.
Yeah.
That, I mean, if somebody has already gone through all of the paperwork, they've already had a background check, they are already legally carrying a gun that they've been licensed to carry in California, giving them another 10-day waiting period is silly.
Just let them buy all the guns at once. I want to buy 25 guns. That sounds reasonable. You have one. Have fun. Right?
Maybe
I don't know enough about the case to really care that America. Much about you know like, who does? What this...
Judge Ishii.
No, that's not okay. How you say it.
No, you say
Ishii.
How many I's is in his name?
Move along.
17.
Three, actually.
Is it I-I-S-H-I?
No, it's I-S-H-I-I.
Oh, Ishii.
Ishii.
Yeah. Ishii.
Like that. So I believe the point I'm making here is
America.
No,
oh.
Attorney General Harris.
Yes,
wrong again.
Oh, ball.
Wrong again.
Again.
Why they
really
put a woman in that office anyway?
No. I don't care.
And by
she,
they, I mean we, the voters.
What were we thinking?
I don't
and
care
Obama.
That she's. Do you want me to go back to why I have an issue with her?
I don't.
No,
know.
I don't remember why I don't. Really
oh,
care.
Wait. Okay. Oh, you
what was it?
Did you? Okay.
I had a legitimate thing.
What was it?
That
because you didn't like Kamala, you Ugandan headhunter from WWF days.
It was that's part of it.
That nothing with anything. Sorry.
No, it was when she was the it's not attorney general. It's the district attorney.
Yeah. Yeah.
In San Francisco, she came out and said flatly that she would never seek the death penalty in any case.
Oh, right. She stuck to a basic tenet of her beliefs and her campaign promise,
that's
then followed
bullshit.
Up on it.
No. If you're if you're in elected office and you're the lead legal person,
but she told people that she was never going to do it, and they had the opportunity to then not elect her if they didn't like that.
That's nice. I'm just saying that's why I have a problem with her, and I think it's a legitimate complaint with somebody that if you've got the death penalty and you just say flat out, I'm never going to seek it. If she had just said. If she had just never done it, that would be one thing. But to come out and go, I'm never, ever going to seek the death penalty.
I would agree with you if she said it right after she was sworn in, like, by the way, suckers, not going to do it.
No,
she said her whole campaign was like, I'm never going to do this. If you don't like that, then you probably shouldn't vote for me.
And then she said it repeatedly whenever people would commit heinous murders in San Francisco. And
which were the unheinous murders?
No, I mean, they're... Okay.
Oh, brr.
Uh-oh. It's getting
the one I'm about to commit on the couch.
Oh no!
Threat.
If you think
I go missing, you guys know what to
exactly. Rob, this is your chance.
You know you can kill her because Kamala won't seek the death penalty.
That's
you
right.
Need, you're free to murder anyone you want. You just have to go to jail and seek rehabilitation. But
and
you
might have to wait
10
days. 10 days for your gun.
Yeah, to buy your gun. So do it. No. Or maybe not anymore.
Yeah. Well,
do you already have a gun?
No.
There you go.
No, but I know several people who have them.
I know lots of people who have guns.
Did you grow up with gun culture in Vermont?
Or is that
there's no hunting. There's no such thing as gun culture.
Hunting
there
culture?
Is.
No, there isn't. Yes, that's something that people, that's something that people make up. Gun culture.
Well, did you grow up in a hunting culture? I would
a
say
culture
like
where
a,
guns
I mean, Vermont.
Were,
I would yeah, imagine I, you'd be.
Yeah, I took hunter safety when I was a kid.
Yeah, I would sort of imagine so that's like a Vermonter thing.
Did you hunt a deer and get your picture in the paper?
No, I've never actually killed an animal.
Oh.
But I have gone hunting, didn't see anything, done more target shooting than anything, and I know how to safely handle a gun, which I think is important.
I think it's fine.
So anyway, moving on to the sad world of cyberbullying. And Canada, a member of the Nova Scotia legislature said she was cyberbullied by a group of people over the past few weeks after someone posted a topless photo of her online. Lenore Zan said the photo was taken from an episode of the cable TV series The L Word, in which she played a small part in a prison shower scene in 2008.
Is it just IMDb? Is that where it was posted?
I don't know. When
I don't
the
know
photo
I find that really funny.
When
I
the
do.
Photo was tweeted to her in late November, she asked the sender to remove the image, which she said included the message that said, "What happened to the old Lenore?" But the sender refused, and the online conversation soon included others who retweeted the image and hurled insults at her. "I never signed on for having that image used for another purpose," she said in an interview.
Yeah, that's not how that works.
"I signed a contract for my image to be used only in the L Word show."
Yeah, that's not how that works.
"It's not just the image of the picture that was disturbing. It was the way that these people suddenly targeted me."
That's true. People
it increased
assholes.
The velocity and the intent, and it was constant. It was harassing. The NDP politician from the Truro area said she later complained to the sender's parents, the local school board, the Truro police, and Nova Scotia's new cyberbullying investigation unit.
Damn, kids, what? Get
it's
off my cyber lawn.
Known as CyberScan.
Newsweek was right. The internet's the worst.
It is for porn, though, so
Chief
here
David,
it worked.
Chief David McNeil said the investigation last week determined the case was not a criminal matter. "Since then, our file has been concluded." A spokesman for the Justice Department in Nova Scotia said the CyberScan unit does not discuss details of individual cases, but said she was told that the five-member unit is still looking into the matter, so apparently not closed. The unit was set up earlier this year when Nova Scotia introduced the Cyber Safety Act, which the province describes as the first law in Canada aimed at protecting victims of cyberbullying and making those responsible accountable under the law. The act defines cyberbullying as any electronic communication that is intended or ought reasonably to be expected to cause fear, intimidation, humiliation, distress, or other damage or harm to another person's health, emotional well-being, self-esteem, or reputation. Don't go online. Do not go online then. CBC reported that Nick Sissons, who's a 17-year-old high school student, said he sent the tweet, thought it was nothing more than a joke, and the issue was blown out of proportion. However, subsequent tweets from others were filled with nasty taunts and vulgar insults. "It was becoming more and more like a pack mentality," she said. "They were attacking me."
Hey, leave Pac-Man out of this.
I know. It's terrible.
Jesus. He's throwing some dots.
So, yeah, it's very interesting how, but if you're going to be naked in a film or a TV show,
it might come out.
Expect the photos to come back later. Yeah. Just saying.
Yeah, that's very different from like revenge porn or something like that. I mean, I don't doubt that she received a bunch of nasty, terrible, mean stuff from the internet trolls, and I'm sure that it was painful. But the initial photo doesn't seem like a crime.
Well, and here's the other part of it. If she would have just rolled with it and said, "Ah, that's great. Thanks for being a fan," and and moved on.
Yeah,
that's
true.
Nothing else would have happened. But she decided to be like, "No, you take that
she
down." Blah blah
the
blah.
Trolls.
Don't yeah. feed the trolls.
Do you think this is probably the first time she's been in the news in a really long time? Do
or,
you think she was trying to
ever
right like drag it out?
Yeah, I don't know how you vote for her again, just because of how poor. If she handles her own personal issues when there's something that comes up this poorly and haphazardly, I don't know how you trust her to handle the issues of the community that she represents. Just saying.
Yeah.
Did anybody used to watch The L Word?
I've seen an episode. It was boring.
I watched a couple years of it, or maybe 1 year of it, and then I don't know what happened.
Is it like Orange is the New Black?
Yeah.
Because there's ladies in it and lesbians?
It's not as good. It's a show completely 100% about lesbian culture, on which pretty much none of the actresses are actually lesbians, and they're all super pretty and model looking, okay. and there's nobody who's like butch or anything like
well,
that.
Well, it was completely unrealistic.
Yes.
It was sort of like Queer as Folk, which was...
I watched all of that.
Well, yeah, you did. The only...
The American version. I didn't watch the British version.
Charlie Hunnam from Sons of Anarchy was in the British version of Queer as Folk.
Oh, interesting.
And I had his name on the tip of my tongue. He's one of the guys who hosted Talk Soup. And his name escapes me right now. Hal Sparks.
Oh, yeah.
Was in Queer as Folk. And I happened to be flipping.
He had a major character, major role.
And I happened to be flipping by at one point, and I'm like, hey, it's Hal Sparks. And it was a scene where Hal Sparks was masturbating while having phone sex with another dude.
Yeah.
And that was the last moment of Queer as Folk I ever watched.
Hal Sparks was he was the main character through all the seasons of that show. And then I only knew him from that show. And then randomly I went to a stand-up comedy show in Santa Monica and he was the headliner. And I was like, it's the guy from Queer as Folk. Like, I don't know. I'm sure he intends his career to be larger than that. But that was what I knew him from.
Yeah, he was on Talk Soup for a few years before that. And that was his big break. Where is he now? Don't know.
In Santa Monica doing stand-up comedy.
Mm. And now it's time for the segment on Damn Hipsters.
Is that a new segment?
Well, just for today.
Okay.
In Brooklyn, heart of hipsters, the hipster culture, they now have a
There's no hipster culture.
They now have a...
It's like the gun culture. It doesn't exist.
It's not a real thing.
It's not making up things, Nate.
I am making up things.
Okay.
But they have an artisanal porridge shop now.
Of course they do.
Artisanal porridge? Damn
Please,
hipster
sir.
Culture.
Yep. That's right. The question, what do the hipsters in Brooklyn eat when not dining in total silence? Artisanal, gluten-free, non-GMO gruel at the pop-up shop.
This is our bulgur wheat, rosemary, lemon, verbena mix. it's served with a side of mango chutney sourced from only traditional non-cruelty mango farms.
I'm sorry. I can't eat bulgur wheat because of my gluten intolerance. Do you actually have something porridge made of pinto beans or rice flour?
We're all out of the pinto beans. We do have a nice red quinoa.
Okay. I can do that. My doctor said that would be okay, but only if it's not cruelly obtained from Peru, because I'm very concerned about
the indigenous people.
No,
we only use Louisiana quinoa that was sourced through, it was funded by BP as part of the cleanup effort. I don't know if that's too much conflict.
I'm still not sure because of what's happened with the Voting Rights Act of 1965. I might just have to have just an orange juice.
So the Brooklyn Porridge
Company.
I'm
sorry, would you like that to be Florida oranges? We're not really doing that right now because we feel like there's still too much voter infringement down there. We do have some California oranges, but there's a rather sizable carbon footprint, so there's a $5 surcharge.
That's fine.
The Brooklyn Porridge Company describes itself. No, you guys did very well.
Is that why hipsters are so slim? It takes them forever to order their food.
That's really complicated.
They describe themselves as specializing in porridge made from a variety of ancient global gluten-free grains. A bowl of porridge with two free toppings starts at $7. Customers can order from a menu of pre-designed, mostly savory porridge bowls like the truffled heart with shaved Parmesan, artichoke hearts,
truffles. Oh,
and white,
white
truffle oil, and the portobello and pesto, which includes roasted red pepper, caramelized onion, grilled portobello, and basil pesto.
These sound gross.
It's like new polenta.
Yeah.
There's also a menu of dairy-free, gluten-free Belgian waffle twists.
Ooh.
That
I could get into.
It's a trademark name for sandwiches built on Belgian waffles. The high-end shop joins other Brooklyn specialty shops like Artisanal Mayonnaise Shop, which opened in 2011. Micro-focused dining also something of a trend in New York City, with restaurants like the potato-focused Potatopia, the 24-hour biscuit purveyors at Empire Biscuit.
That's totally reasonable.
And the improbable chicken nugget-focused Nugget Spot of all opened in the last few months. They have three different organic butters to choose from, too. They have organic butter, almond butter, and cashew butter.
Unfortunately, that butter is sourced from the cow down the street, not our own cow. She's on vacation right now.
Yeah.
So it'll be a $3 surcharge for the additional carbon footprint driving it.
You can get a fruity and sweet waffle twist, the cashew butter and strawberry compote.
Have you seen my kumpel?
Oh, and here's what you can get to drink there. You can get, it's under cool refreshments, freshly squeezed orange juice for $3.50, mulled apple cider for $3.50, iced green tea for $3.
Fuck yourself.
Or or tier water, T-Y-R.
I don't know what it is, but I don't like it.
For $2. So that's,
I was just T-Y-R in Seattle. And my friend wanted to get some coffee, and I was like, oh, no, I don't need caffeine. And she was like, well, I'll just get you a tea. And it was like $2.75 for a tea bag, like a tea bag out of a box, you know. And I was like, no, on principle, I can't let you buy this like $2.75 tea bag. And she was like, well, what if you don't know? What if you? And I was like, no, it's the principle. And like a tea might have been nice, but I don't know, $2.75 for the, you see the box, like the whole box at Safeway costs $4, you know, it just, I don't know. I just couldn't do it.
We should go into tea.
All right.
I think so. Mm.
And this, so the artisanal porridge was bad enough. But now, how George W. Bush evolved from the uncoolest person on the planet to bona fide hipster icon.
Excuse me.
It's a thing.
Not a thing. Sorry, I didn't mean to beat you to the punch.
That's all right.
God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
So George W.
Bush. I didn't say it this time.
George W. Bush was once very uncool. So uncool, in fact, in 2005, the New York Times reported that the then president's use of an iPod threatened Apple's status as the premier purveyor of the electronic toys of the anti-establishment set.
That's funny.
The paper then asked the question, if someone as mainstream as President Bush has caught onto something allegedly so hip, what can Apple do to keep iPods chic and cutting edge? Years later, toward the end of Bush's presidency, members of the band U2 weighed whether to pose for photographs with him if it meant increased publicity for the charitable work in Africa. The Edge told music magazine NME in 2009, hanging out with George W. Bush, which Bono knew was uncool, deeply unpopular in certain quarters, he knew for his own certain reasons that would get results. And he was right. The amount of extra American investment in Africa development that occurred during that administration compared to even the Clinton administration, it was huge. So if you're a liberal older than, say, 24, old enough to either hate Thought Catalog or know what Thought Catalog is a better barometer, you know this, that George W. Bush is uncool, lame, establishment, square, and odious, etc. It's a political fact as self-evident and unnecessary as to argue Mitt Romney takes AA batteries or Bill Clinton has an oiliness about him. I don't know about that anymore. He's vegan. If you are younger than 24, you might not have attended the anti-Bush rallies. You might not have pinned shrub buttons to your tote bag and might not even remember Bush as a war-loving, vowel-dropping, faux-folksy, ostentatiously religious Connecticut cowboy. This is because Bush has quietly and wholly ingenuously refashioned himself into an internet-friendly, cat-loving, iconic hat-wearing, painter-come-Instagram savant. Lately, George W. Bush is a hipster icon. In the internet, unofficial fourth estate of Youth of America is totally buying it. Newsweek was right.
Not a thing. I've never heard of any of this.
Bush's encouraging letter to student athlete Cade Foster, the 23-year-old University of Alabama kicker who just about single-handedly lost his team the Iron Bowl, is the internet sensation.
Iron Bowl?
Mm-hmm. It's a game between Alabama and Auburn. It was a big deal.
Oh no, I do. I remember that. I didn't know it was called the Iron Bowl, but I do recall that game.
Yeah, he reached out to a, quote, troubled youngster. Though definitely aided by his love of animals, biking hobby, is internet savvy, and U-Street-friendly uniform, Bush's transmutation from iPod-threatening lameness monster into smiling blog mascot closely aligns with his painting career. If you remember back in February of 2013, a hacker gained access to his email account, or his sister's email account, and put out some of the content, including leaked documents and photographs of two of Bush's painted self-portraits. The first that America had ever seen, one was him in the shower and the other was him in the bathtub.
Looks like something a sixth grader might have painted.
But yeah, so he's become a hipster icon.
No.
How did this happen?
Because the internet said it did. I don't think
it's not a thing.
I don't know.
Okay.
No one in this room is a hipster.
That is true.
Do any of us hang out with hipsters?
I don't think so.
So
I work for an alternative weekly newspaper,
yeah,
so kind of, yeah.
Do.
Oh, you should ask.
Yeah, you do, but are they really hipsters? They seem pretty establishment for a weekly newspaper.
Well, in editorial, we're all geriatric, but in the rest of the office, there's definitely some hipsters.
Okay.
Young, hip people.
You'll have to check with them.
Yeah.
Because you'll have to check with them. We'll find out at a later time, but I'm buying it, and because I never underestimate
misunderestimate.
I never misunderestimate the stupidity of hipsters because yeah, it's bad. But yeah,
hipsters be stupid.
I was I saw a hipster so skinny that his body tapered down from his rib cage. I'm like, how is that even possible that you're that
third world skinny?
It's creepy. It's almost like, you know what? You know what it is? It's a Tim Burton animated movie come to life sort of creepy skinny.
Maybe he had a sickness.
Yeah, he did.
Hipsteritis.
Is that fucking knit hat he was wearing and his stupid beard?
Oh.
Yeah.
Take that, hipsters.
And his leopard print belt.
And a Movember mustache.
Oh no, he had a full beard.
And a September haircut. It's
September true. To wear raise awareness for Martians stealing Santa Claus.
Well, let's go down to Florida, where nothing makes sense. After a scalding hot iron to the face and a Facebook message to parents about the injury, a babysitter took a child to a parade rather than to a hospital. That's according to a police arrest report.
Wait, what?
That's right. The child's parents told police that Cynthia Monique McClellan, who's 32, looked after the child when the hot iron on McClellan's bed fell and hit the child. So, an accident. But the burns were so severe that doctors at Bethesda Hospital had to transfer the child to Delray Medical Center for treatment. The parents told police that McClellan sent them a Facebook message about the injury at about 3:30 p.m. They tried several times to get her to bring the child back, but found she was stuck in traffic on the way to a parade in Delray Beach with the child and other children. It wasn't until about 9 after she dropped off the other children that parents saw the child. The detective said McClendon told them that she used an ointment and ice to treat the burn. Told the parents...
No, those are both totally the wrong thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Told the parents and then headed to the parade. When asked why she didn't call for an ambulance, she said she thought the burn was just a mark.
Just
well,
a mark?
Well, how bad... I mean, how sensitive was it?
She then tried to explain that an officer directing traffic at the parade prevented her from dropping off the child. That
at the parade?
Yep. Oh, that God. Led the detective to ask if she let the officer know about the burn. She said no. The incident landed McClellan a child neglect causing bodily harm charge. Deputies booked her into the county jail, where she's being held in lieu of $15,000 bail.
What is the right thing to do for a burn?
Cool water. And nothing ointment-y. I mean, it used to be like, you put butter on it or something. You shouldn't do that. Just
why not?
It's cool. And it depends on the extent of the... Well, ice, because it's too much of a temperature difference.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the ice can cause additional tissue damage.
Okay.
So,
good to know.
And the other thing, when it's a kid, you can go ahead and, I don't know, bring him to the hospital, the doctor, that sort of thing. Make sure bring them back to their parents. Go, I've burned your child. Would you like to bring them for medical attention? No? We're going to a parade. I thought it was just a mark. It is just a birthmark. Anyway. Florida.
They're the worst.
They are. But a close second is Ohio, Florida of the North. Dateline Athens, Ohio. A former school employee is facing federal charges for allegedly stealing human bones from an anatomy lab at Ohio University. 28-year-old Weston Henry Mokin was charged with counts of transporting remains across state boundaries and stealing property from a federally funded agency. Court documents say the Athens man took the bones between July of 2011. Excuse me.
Bless you.
Hef is awake now.
Yeah. And June 2012, defense attorney Keith Yazel told the Associated Press that his client sold the bones to support a drug habit.
Oh, well, you know, you got to make some money somehow.
The dispatch reports a settlement agreement would require Mokin to pay more than $84,000 in restitution.
Wow.
Yeazel.
Says I know bones were worth so much.
Says Mokin is in a drug treatment program. So, as I promised before, drugs are bad. They make you steal bones and stuff.
$84,000 in bones?
For black market bones?
Well, wow. I think that's more restitution for transporting remains across state boundaries and stealing property from a federally funded agency.
The carbon footprint tax, I gotcha.
It's sort of like if you owe the IRS, let's say, $1,000 in taxes, by the time they hit you with fees and everything else, you owe them well over $1,000.
That's true. Because of Obama.
Well, and the IRS.
Obama.
So some news you can use now. Make sure your friends, if you've been out drinking with them, get home. And not just home, but actually inside the house.
Oh.
Because a 19-year-old in Minnesota spent hours passed out in frigid temperatures. She's 19. She tweeted, "Yum, yum, 10th shot of tequila."
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, man.
Before she wandered off alone down a dead-end street and spent 9 hours in freezing temperatures.
How about you don't let your friends drink 10 shots of tequila?
17 degrees below zero, by the way. Hospital.
She probably didn't die because of the 10 shots of tequila.
Right.
Oh, so it saved her life.
Yeah.
Probably.
Oh. Hospital workers now fear that she's a Duluth College student. They fear that she could lose one or both of her hands.
Oh, man.
She was wearing just jeans, UGG boots, a sweater, and a light jacket. She had on no gloves when a passerby found her around 9:30 a.m. Mm. Her hands were three times their normal size and may have to be amputated due to severe frostbite and hypothermic conditions. The college sophomore was nearly frozen to death, according to a police report. So, yeah, if you're out drinking with your friends, don't just drop them off at the front door. Don't let them wander off alone. Make sure they're okay. Because
that's sad.
Yeah.
That's really disturbing. Seriously sad.
One
drinking.
First of all, she's 19. She shouldn't be drinking anyway, but we all drank at 19.
That's not, yeah.
How do you physically drink 10 shots without barfing? I'm just curious, because the most shots I ever drank in my whole life was one time I played a drinking game and I drank five shots in quick succession and then barfed them all, like, almost immediately. Like, how does your body not just go, reject?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're not really clear how long the period of time was she took the 10 shots. If it's over, like, 3 hours, because she's not a big girl, so if she's... If she's taking 10 shots over the course of 3 hours, she's going to be really drunk, but it's probably she's not going to have the same reaction that you would if you just slammed five of them in succession. I don't think I've ever had that much alcohol in that short a period of time.
I outdrank all of you one time. That's amazing to me because I'm the lightweight of this whole show.
No, I may have had, I probably had like north of five shots worth, but south of 10.
Yeah.
Well, and
but I'm pretty sure I barfed too.
At a certain point in college, my menu for drinking was I had a bottle of 151 in one hand and a bottle of Coke in the other.
Whoa.
And I would take a swig off of one and then a couple of drinks off the other.
You didn't bother to mix them in a glass and have like
glass. Why waste a glass?
Wow. Yeah, glasses are a waste of time. Yeah, I mean,
that's not
my
role, but
yeah, that's exactly what it was.
Nate's an environmentalist at heart.
I think the drunkest I ever got was off wine. Which is a nasty thing.
That's the worst hangover I've ever had.
It
is
the worst
wine.
Everything.
Like the sugar or...
Do you wake up in the middle of the night so thirsty and just like... Bleh.
I was ill like the whole night.
It's definitely the worst hangover headache is a wine hangover headache.
Yeah. Oh, everything about it was bad.
If you have too much Manischewitz, you're going to regret it in the morning.
Mm.
Let me tell you.
That's the danger of Passover. Like you're passed over for plagues,
passed
but
out.
Not for hangovers.
Over.
That's the danger of
passed
Passover.
The danger of Passover.
Yeah.
By Becca Costello.
That and vegan potato kugel recipes you find on the blog. Horrifying.
So...
You need the Manischewitz to wash that kugel down.
So yeah, in 2014, don't leave your friends outside. Don't do shots in succession. And don't drink like I used to.
Now I want there to be a Jewish search engine called Kugel. Can we make that? We'll do it. We'll work on it.
Put it on the internet. I'm sure it'll catch on.
Kugel.
That's what we'll do.
Yay, it's a thing
the
now.
The Darling Show.
Welcome to our little town.
Sometimes.
Small town news.
All right.
I'm praying for a speak out.
Well, your prayers are answered, Ted.
Thank you.
Yay. Sorry, Gordy, but...
At 10:30 a.m. on December 4th, I made a left turn off Route 3 heading to the mall.
Bob.
I cut off a car when I made a quick turn to the right lane. Then we pulled into the mall parking lot.
Okay.
I'm very sorry for the way I treated you. I was wrong.
That's sweet. That's the nicest, most direct speak out I've ever seen. I appreciate that a lot.
Yeah.
Hey, to wish someone happy holiday at this time of year has little meaning. For many people, what holiday is it? But wishing someone a Merry Christmas says it all. Christmas reminds me of the birth of Christ.
Merry Christmas says it all except for Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa.
Happy New Year.
Happy Solstice.
Kwanzaa's not a thing.
It really covers all the bases.
And Hanukkah's over.
Kwanzaa's totally a thing.
Oh,
and Ngayo just wrote about it in his column.
I don't think Ngayo's a thing. Anyway... I know in retail you cannot say Merry Christmas because of the vast array of religions. Just because we cannot say it doesn't mean we don't want to wish everyone a happy holiday. What? Hey, of course Obama and the Dems lied about Obamacare regarding keeping your plan and doctor if you liked it.
What?
If you'd rather view him as an incompetent politician instead, at least we can agree on that.
Oh, I'm glad. Either he's a liar or incompetent. Those are the two choices?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm glad that I have options.
Well, pick one and agree on it.
Oh, yeah, we can agree on it. that's good. I like, have freedom to agree.
Hey, to the man I watched closing the gates of the city baseball field, shame on you.
Ooh.
Oh.
There's a designated fenced-in area in that park for dogs. They use it. Baseball fields are for baseball games.
What?
Exactly. Hey, to the person who wrote the Walker speak out, you're misinformed. Officials released a statement that they were doing double the speed limit in a 45-mile-per-hour zone. I think you misread the wording of those details.
Yeah.
Bob.
What? Bob. Bob's the worst.
Hey, members of Congress don't need to read it before they pass it. They can always get an exemption for them and their staffs if it cramps their style. Obamacare is okay for the commoners, but don't burden them with it. Yeah, what? Republicans are the hypocrites.
What?
Bob? What? I don't know what, I don't know what we're talking about.
They have insurance through their job. Okay.
Hey, the best thing that happens to children is belief, dreams, day or night, and wishes. So if you don't like or if you dislike it, keep it to yourself this time of year rather than hurt the poor young children.
What?
Wait, the best thing that happens to children is belief,
dreams,
and day or night?
Daydreams or night dreams.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so what's happening?
I think they're saying don't tell people, don't bah humbug all of our little kids' Christmas.
Oh, I agree with that.
Yeah.
Yes. Embrace the season, even if you don't.
Yeah.
Or not embrace it, respect it. I don't know. Happy holidays. I mean, sorry, everyone.
And to the person who said if employees don't greet customers with Merry Christmas, you shouldn't be allowed to do business in this country.
You're right.
There are several other holidays this month. Hanukkah.
No, that's
that
last
was last
month.
Month but okay.
Ramadan.
That's
not I know.
A thing.
That wasn't this month either. That was,
no, that was like in the fall.
Kwanzaa.
Yes.
That is true,
okay.
But it's not a thing.
As Yule.
Yule. What? What am I going to do? Tell me.
Iden Yule. What about atheists?
I don't think Eid was this month either.
There's New Year's. That's a holiday.
And there's several Aids, I think.
Becca's birthday, that's a thing.
Not everyone is Christian or celebrates Christmas. Think before speaking.
Yeah, any employee
to
who
speak
doesn't
out.
Great. If you're an employee and you do not greet customers with happy Becca's birthday, you should not be allowed to conduct business in this country. It really says it all, don't you think?
I think it does.
That'd be fantastic. You should like yelp every business you go that doesn't do it. Right? They did not wish me a happy birthday.
It's true.
I wish everyone my birthday.
All right, everybody. I hope 2014 is treating you well. Thanks for listening to the show. We'll be back next week with two more fun ones for you.
Yay.
In the meantime, have a big fun weekend and enjoy yourselves.
Happy belated Becca's birthday to everyone.
Yay. Yeah.
Woo. And Christiana's birthday and Ted's birthday.
Ted's birthday.
Those aren't national holidays.
But not Nate's birthday because that's later.
Yeah, it is.
When All is right. your birthday again, Nate? You told us, but I forgot.
February 19th.
Okay, got it.
It's coming.
It
Yay,
is.
Christmas.
It's like Christmas for me. It's not at all.
It's Nate-mas.
If I were Jesus, Aww. It would be like Christmas
there
for me.
There you go.
And we celebrate it when I wasn't born. Either way, leave you with the Foo Fighters and Big Me on the Nate Darling Show. Bye-bye.